endeavoring to follow the Lord in teaching, continuing to teach on prayer, because we want to continue to pray more effectually. But we're bringing it together with understanding the ways of the Holy Spirit, because He is our teacher, He's our guide, He's the great intercessor. Now, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, and He intercedes for us there. But the Holy Spirit is with us here. He's the part of the Godhead that works with us today here on the earth. And so, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, we have been repeating these, but it bears repeating. I'm glad that you're giving me the New King James. Thank you, Lisa. And it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, I'd like to look into the King James, because the King James gives me the words that are in italics. And so then that way I know what word has been added by the translators, and I'm sure that their purpose was that, or their goal was that it would be better understood by the reader. Sometimes it gives better understanding. Sometimes it makes us scratch our heads a little bit. But right here, you know, we're not going to argue with it. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, I will share with you that taking that word gifts, which is in italics, out, then we would have now concerning spirituals, because actually that word is in plural in the Greek. So now concerning spirituals, or others have translated it as things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit. So concerning spiritual gifts, or concerning the way that the Holy Spirit manifests and demonstrates, operates among us, because that is really, if you read the whole chapter, that is the explanation that the Apostle Paul is giving to them. It says, I don't want you to be ignorant. So this is the Apostle Paul writing to one of the churches. And I did, you know, someone did say that the churches would send those letters, you know, to other churches. They don't have printers like we have today. So I'm sure they did have people that could write certain portions, and they would do that. I don't know exactly how it was done. But you see, these were treasures. But first of all, they were sent to those the Corinthians, because the Apostle Paul had invested himself, you know, in them. And the Corinthians were people that were known to be practicers of speaking in other tongues. And they were open to the Holy Spirit, but they didn't know that much. You know, they were starting. They were experiencing a lot of things, but they needed direction. They needed instruction. And so here, there were things that they were experiencing, of the Holy Spirit, and excuse me for using the word things. I always remember a grammar teacher that would give us a zero automatic if we use the word thing. Mm-hmm. That thing has a name. And so we couldn't use that word. So every time that I do it, I feel like, okay. But anyway, for sake of making it easier, there were expressions of the Holy Spirit that were manifesting among them. They were experiencing the variety of demonstrations of the Holy Spirit, but they really didn't know what they were, and so they had things out of order. You know, they were so fervent, they would come together, you know, and one would be louder than the other, you know. We all have to learn order. And I had to learn, I've said this before, I had to learn when I married my husband that if I wanted prayer together with him, I couldn't be as loud as I could be on my own. Because it disturbed him. Remember that? He said to me, "Now, Lydia, you can't be that loud. Because I can't concentrate." Remember? So, you know, I had to learn. That was very good for me. Very, very good. You know, we don't need to obligate somebody else to get used to us. You know, we can all walk in love, amen, and let the leader be the louder one. The problem is that I would say, "Jim, I don't want to be louder than you, but I can't even hear you." But you told me I couldn't be louder than you. So he had to learn to be louder, and I had to learn to be quieter. And I'm not even teaching about marriage, you are. Praise the Lord. So it worked out. we will celebrate 47 years in June. So things worked out for us. Praise the Lord. Anyway, 1 Corinthians 12, again, let me back. It says that we're not to be ignorant. And so we're going to work on that. We've been taught these things before, but there's still a lot of ignorance and not quite understanding. And so we're gonna focus on that this year till the Lord takes us another place. So this is one of the things. And so I want to go now to verse 2, verse 2 of chapter 14, excuse me, because this is going to be another message. I will touch on this. That is going to be another message. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 14 because we're talking about prayer. And I wanted to go into teaching of each of the variety of spiritual gifts, as we call them. But the Lord reminded me that there were some things that we needed to be reminded about the value of speaking in other tongues and the importance of that in our lives. Because it is an entrance to the rest of the moving of the Holy Spirit among us. You see, the Holy Spirit is vast. He's great. Amen. We could talk about different areas of the Word of God till, you know, we could do it 24/7. Well, right now we have what? Isn't there 24/7 Voice of Victory? You know, certain time of the night, we would early go to bed, people. So there's Word of God that is being preached 24/7. You know, you can be a glutton for the Word 24/7 if you can stay awake the whole day. So in chapter 14, verse 2, let's read verse 1, 2. It says, "Follow after love, but after charity, or pursue love." I like that too. "And desire spiritual gifts." Again, the gifts is italicized. And the reason why I keep talking about that is because there's more to these than just the 12 spiritual gifts. There's more. There is everything that has to do with the Holy Ghost. Word to desire. Even this morning, you know, we were in prayer and we got to hunger, and we do that especially on Wednesdays. And we get like that on Mondays too. But anyway, we were praying about the glory of God. Had such a hunger to see the Shekinah glory, which is the manifested glory. And so there's so many things about that pertain to the Holy Spirit that we want to know. It's more than, I want you to, want us to realize that it's more than the 12 spiritual gifts, which, hey, to have them all operating all the time, it's a pursuit of ours. Amen? But there's more. So it says, follow after love. So let's not forget that, because that's a requirement. Follow after love. And then desire. Desire for the Holy Spirit to be manifested. Desire to know the Holy Spirit. Desire to give him the preeminence and the opening that he needs. The place that he needs. Give him place. Amen. Desire the gifts. Again, we could, using that word, desire the operations of the Holy Spirit. Desire for him to move among you. Amen. This is something that pleases the Lord, that we desire it. That we don't just remember to desire it right before the service starts, but that we live with that desire. Amen? Just like we live following after love. Amen? And then it says, but rather, or it says that especially, that you may prophesy. So that's interesting. Because the Bible says to not despise prophesying. And so it says here even more, it says that would to desire especially that you may prophesy. You know? So then you think, when are we going to be doing that? You know, because if we're all to desire to prophesy, and we only have so many services, people immediately start thinking about everything having to happen in a service. But there's, again, permit me to say it, there's 24/7, seven times in a week. And then you put the 52 weeks of the year. Amen? And so there are other places. Amen? For us to desire that we might be able to prophesy. Glory to God. Amen. Not everything has to happen, but there's things to happen. More things should happen when we're together. Amen. And so we have to learn about what is prophesying and what is not. Right? And we'll get there. And it says in verse 2, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue, and again, we said last week that this word unknown means it's unknown to the one that speaks it. You see, in the United States, and especially in a congregation like ours, you know, right now, all of us speak English. Some of us speak Spanish. Does anyone else speak any other language that you can understand, apart from me? So you go to other places, and you'll have people coming in that speak other languages. And so I read, I remember hearing Brother Hagen say that, you know, he didn't know, you know, he just spoke English. But he said he didn't know what languages that he had spoken in other tongues, except that he had people in the congregation at different times. He says one time somebody told him that he was speaking Mandarin. He gave a tongue, and it was in the Mandarin language, and then he interpreted it. And then another time, it was Aramaic. It was a Jewish man that he said, you spoke perfect Aramaic. So these things happen. They're real. When you speak in other tongues, to you, it sounds like, am I really speaking a language? This seems so strange. But did you know that there are like 7,000 languages on earth today? And that's not even counting dialects. I Googled it about a while back ago. I have heard some languages that you think, after a while, because I've been learning some Turkish, just hobby. Anyway, and I thought, dear Lord, I don't understand a word of these people, because it was not a Latin rooted. And so they start talking, and you think, how in the world do they understand each other? How do children make these sounds and learn those languages, you know? So don't think that it's strange. Maybe it's strange to you, but somebody else knows how to put it together and how to write it. And they've written books in that language. Amen? So anyway, going back here, he that speaks in an unknown tongue, it says, speaks not to men, but to God. So who is it that you're talking to? God. You're talking to God. Amen? For no man understands. Now, the word him, actually, in some places it occurs, in others not. It says, oh, wait, you have it there. He that speaks in a known tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. And the word here can also be translated, he speaks secrets, divine secrets, or secret matters in the Spirit. Secret matters in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. So there's no man that understands, except there's some that do. And those are usually their signs. Usually there's something that the Lord does so that the person, like in that case of the Aramaic, that Brother Hagen gave a tongue and then an interpretation. It was a Jewish man that did not believe in Jesus, did not believe in the New Testament, in the validity of the New Testament. And that man ended up getting saved. So see, the Lord used that as a sign. Amen. And so it says, he that speaks in tongues speaks to God. And now verse 3 says, he that prophesies speaks to men. Because we prophesy in our own language or in a language that we have learned. You know, when I'm among you, I speak a language that we can all understand. Right? Praise the Lord. So it says, he that prophesies speaks to men to edification and exhortation and comfort. So that is why it's to be desired to prophesy. And it is not something you come up with, no matter how beautiful it might be. Because, you know, you can go share scripture with somebody. And the Lord is going to use that to edify somebody. and exhort them and comfort them. But the prophesying is different. You didn't know you were going to say that. And you start getting a knowing of a word that the Lord puts in you. And by faith, you begin, and then you continue, and then you end when the unction leaves for that. In other words, you don't press to make it as long as you want. So it's a different thing. You see, a lot of people that don't understand these things, they think that preaching is prophesying. But preaching is one thing. Prophesying is another. Now, there may be prophecy within the preaching. Amen? But you see, you do not prepare a prophecy ahead of time, like a minister prepares himself to preach or to teach ahead of time. But it's as the Spirit wills at a certain moment. Amen? And it brings edification and exhortation and comfort. Anyway, didn't mean to go there today, but I was going down to verse 4. He that speaks in an unknown tongue, again, unknown to me. When I speak in tongues, it's unknown to me. Amen? Unknown to me. He that speaks in an unknown tongue, the Bible says, edifies himself. So today, and then it continues, but he that prophesies edifies the church, right? It says, I would that you all spoke with tongues. The Apostle Paul is telling them, but rather that you prophesied. Now he's talking about these when they're in public. Okay, you have to read. Don't take one verse out of context. Read the whole thing. And then read other chapters even before and after. He's telling them what they're to do when they come together. Because obviously they were used to just coming, and now they were enjoying speaking in tongues so much that they'd get together and then speak in tongues. We have been in places, and those are really unusual things, but we've been in places like to where the minister, all of a sudden, and it would happen to that Hagen and others, couldn't speak in English. And he would try. You could tell he'd try. So he'd call on somebody else to come to the pulpit. You know, motion to them, you'd say something, because he just couldn't. And the other one, with all, you know, intention, went up there to try to say something in English. And as soon as they got there in that bubble, they found they couldn't speak in English. And we've been to where, I mean, it was like half a dozen people. And then, of course, it just, laughter broke loose. And people falling from their chairs, making fool of themselves on the floor. But everybody understood it. You see. So you don't just go and do these somewhere where it's not going to be edifying. But because it was the Holy Ghost, we all ended up a service like that being so edified. We felt we were walking higher. Right? You've been there. And so those were called Holy Ghost meetings. And we knew him enough, he wasn't putting it on. And we knew those ministers he was calling upon, they were serious people. They weren't putting it on. But they were being arrested by the Holy Ghost. You know, it was like one of the services, the Holy Spirit was saying, okay, enough. I'm going to take over now. And we're going to have some fun. And people are going to be blessed because I want to touch my people. And you know, some way, somehow the Holy Spirit did it because we all left services like that totally carefree. And testimonies would come forth of people being delivered and healed. Right? So you know, we're trying to learn about the things of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to force it. You know, but things like that would happen. So these we're talking about, if you would put it please again, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5, how that they would come together. And he said, he was really, in parentheses you could say, when you come together, I would you all spoke with tongues, but when you come together, I'd rather you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. So we see that the Lord wants that when the church comes together, that we be edified. Amen. Plus, you don't know if there's somebody that's going to come in, is not going to speak in tongues. You know, is not going to understand, right? And so, I want to bring something which you may think this is so simple, Pastor Lydia, but you know, not everybody, we can't take for granted that everybody knows these. Speaking in other tongues is not just prayer. Part of receiving the your tongue, and we call it sometimes your prayer tongue, is to pray. But there are more uses to the speaking in other tongues than just prayer. Okay? And we're going to see that. I'm going to give you scriptures. Let's read verse 6 since we started this subject. Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, or shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. Right? And so some people have taken these out of context and they've said, see, the Apostle Paul said these. And they don't go on and they read what the Apostle Paul said. I speak in tongues more than you all. So he spoke in tongues, but he said, but in the church. See, when I'd rather speak to you in a way where I'm going to bring to you either a revelation or doctrine, or I'm going to prophesy in a way that you will be edified. Amen? And so praise God. So I'd like for you to go to verse 14. Verse 14. 1 Corinthians, because we could just go. I guess maybe we could even read that. Why not? We can go verse by verse. Verse 7 says, pardon me, and even things without life-giving sound, things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, or you went back to the King James because I was reading King James. Thank you. Except they give a distinction in the sounds. How shall it be known what is piped or harped? Right? Have you ever had one of your children that was learning an instrument? Yeah. Ooh, the love of God had to be applied, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, we've all been there. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Okay, this is referring, you know, sounds that they knew, okay, that's the call for battle. And it says, so likewise ye, except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. You know, people are going to think, what are you saying? Right? I will, because we're talking about not being ignorant of the things of the Holy Spirit. He was talking to baby Christians, you know, and we've been in places to where we have experienced that ourselves, being in the Spirit, and the person in the case in which I was telling you, the first person I ever saw that was Dad Hick, and then I've seen others. So, pardon me for referring back to that. Well, he could not speak. He was trying his best, but he couldn't speak English. And then here comes another, and they're talking to each other in tongues, and you can tell that they understand each other. And let me tell you, that can happen. Because see, God's given you interpretation. And what the other person is saying. And they were having a little conversation in tongues, and they understood. So there's things you see that you learn. I've been in that situation. Praise God. So it's all good. It's all good. But you don't do that. You don't do that with somebody that you know is not at that level. Because you're just going to confuse them. Amen? But I want you to know that there's such thing. You know? I don't know if you've seen it, but it happens. So, they will read, yes, thank you. There may be so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. It's true. Every sound means something. Is that the truth? There are sounds that you're familiar with. You know what they mean. That I don't know. And perhaps vice versa. Right? A doctor knows about sounds that we don't know because they've been schooled in that. Right? A farmer knows sounds and sights that the rest of us don't know, but they know. They're skilled in that. Right? Musicians. Hey, plumbers. Right? They know, okay, that sound. Or mechanics. Right? Animal lovers. I may not know the sound of certain animals, but others do. So, And then the different languages, like we were saying. So now verse 11, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaks a barbarian. That means a foreigner. Right? I won't get deep into that. But we each married a foreigner. I wasn't the only foreigner. He was foreigner too. Anyway, but praise God, I spoke English when we met. Otherwise, it would not have been easy. And he that speaks shall be a barbarian to me. That's what it means. Even so, you, for as much as you're zealous of spiritual things, are you zealous of spiritual things? There you go. Desirous of spiritual things. We should desire. It says, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. This is talking not just to ministers. This is talking to all of us. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthians. and saying, I mean, is this Bible? Am I reading Bible? It's not all the Bible. We don't touch on this all the time, but we should touch on this too. I grew up where these chapters were not once read publicly. Because they were not practiced, they were not understood. So they were avoided. I don't think we should avoid anything in the Bible. Much less the epistles that were written to the church. Right? We may learn something that we need to learn. So it says, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. So that should be our purpose, yours and mine, to edify the church. We should seek to be of edification. Amen? That every word we speak, every action of ours, is going to be with the purpose, the pursuit of edifying others. Amen? And so then we continue verse 13. 14 is where we're going, so might as well. Wherefore, let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. So this is instructions. Okay? And so you can take it two ways. You can take it in a personal way or in a public one. So Oral Roberts was... He had a real fondness of teaching on a personal interpretation of your prayer tongue. We were there where we heard him in person. And it really opens your understanding. Not everything you're going to pray in the Spirit, you're going to get interpretation of, but you can get interpretation a lot more. That what we're getting. Amen? As you pray in tongues, you desire and you pray. You see, that's one thing. We can pray. We can pray for these things that we may interpret. And of course, we know that when we pray in faith, believing. Any prayer we pray in faith, believing. Pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, and we believe that we receive. Amen? So the more that you trust the Lord, it's all about trusting the Lord. Nobody fills you with the Spirit except for the Holy Spirit himself. But you have to yield. The Holy Spirit himself is not going to speak through you. It will be you who will speak. I know that from the Bible because it says they began to speak. You see, I had not been taught these things when I sought to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I had the concept that the Holy Spirit was going to do it. So that I would open my mouth. Yeah, I'd pray in Spanish till I was just sure that I had touch all bases and that I had reached the heart of God and you know and oh my goodness gracious and I would just pray and worship God and do all that I knew to do and I would just sense the fire of the Holy Spirit. I did the presence and the fire of the Holy Ghost, but no one had taught me, and like I said, those scriptures were never read publicly. And so I thought the Holy Spirit is just going to come, boom, boom, and speak through me. But no, I had to realize, and it was through the help of a friend that he says, Lydia, the Holy Spirit's not going to do it. It's going to be you. Just yield and start speaking. And so you know what? Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit helped me. And I did. I haven't. And I have spoken in other tongues every day since. This was a long time ago. I'm not going to tell you because none of your business. how old I am. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you know what? I am going to tell you that it has been, it's been 51 years. 51 years. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. So let's go ahead. Verse 14. For I was a baby, I was just born. For I pray in an unknown tongue, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So it's your spirit is the real you. You see, this is what's so wonderful, is that your spirit man is the one that prays when you pray in other tongues. Your mind doesn't give its two senses. Amen. Your flesh doesn't get involved. It's your spirit that prays. Amen. So don't concentrate so much in your understanding not getting anything. Because this is what has gotten a lot of people off. We'll get there. But rejoice in the fact that your spirit is praying. Because it is necessary that Christians be more attuned with their spirit man. We're too interested in wanting to know what our mind thinks, or what, you know, what do you think? People go, so what do you think about it? We learned this again from Dad Hagen. He would be asking, what he said he'd be with other ministers. They would be talking about something. And they wanted to know what he thought about that matter. They would all get irritated at him because he did not like to talk about what he thought. He either told them what he would say. Well, the word says. He said, well, yeah, we know what the word says, but what do you think? But you see, people were putting a premium on what others thought. And we have to be careful about that. Because what the Bible says ought to be much more important than what somebody thinks of what you come up with. Amen? So praise God. Rejoice. Your spirit is praying. You're born again, justified, made righteous. New creature in Christ is praying. And is praying to be heard of God, not of men. And that matters. And that will help you. And that will edify you. That's what the Bible says. I mean, we'll continue learning that. But my spirit, my understanding is unfruitful. But you know what? There's a way for the understanding to be fruitful, for the understanding to be enlightened. Right? There's plenty in the Bible so that our understandings can get enlightened. Our minds can be renewed. Because that's what it's meant. Our understanding is not to be leaned on according to the Bible. Do not lean on your own understanding. Amen? We need to have the help of the Holy Spirit, the help of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit always work together so that our understanding, our minds can become fruitful. And the way they become fruitful is when we receive God's ways of thinking. Amen? and not our own. Praise the Lord. So see the value of speaking other tongues. Praise God. Go with me to verse 4 again of 1 Corinthians 14:4. Notice that it says that he that speaks in other tongues edifies himself. You know what that word edify, many of you know it, but you gotta be reminded again. That word edify is like the word that we use today to charge. You know how we have to charge our phones every day? Some of us may have to charge it more than once a day, right? They've made it easier for us to have portable things because they get out of battery. The battery is dying because of the usage, right? Or the demand put on our phones. Depending on what you do with your phone, it gets your battery, you know, used quicker. Is that true? And sometimes it depends on where you are. Different zones where you might be. Have you noticed that too? I've noticed that. Yeah. So you see, that is the same with your spirit. Depending on what you're exposed to, you see, what you might be connected to in different areas, what all kinds of variables, right? But praise the Lord, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, charges himself or builds himself up like a battery. That is the translation of that. Glory to God. So people, well, I'm discouraged. You know, it can happen. I'm discouraged, you know, or I feel like, you know, I remember hearing these, and it was really life-changing. It was Brother Copeland years ago. No matter how many vitamins you take and how careful you might be with your nutrition, and no matter how much sleep you may get, there's people that are still fatigued. And he said, when that happens, that's spiritual. The problem is spiritual. And you're trying to fix all kinds of things naturally. And I'm an advocate. We should be eating as healthy as we can. Amen. And the proper amount of exercise. I like Jesus' way of exercising. He walked and he climbed mountains. My kind of thing to do. Amen. Anyway, let me not get sidetracked. But again, you try to find this and that. But how about taking time to charge your battery, your spiritual battery? Your spirit man needs recharging. Amen. And yes, it comes through the Word of God. But also, right here it says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. And that is not a selfish thing to do. If it is selfish, it's for the profit of others as well as yourself. Amen? Because some people would think, well, I don't want to do something for myself. Well, but the Lord wants you to. The Lord needs us to be edified. Amen? I'm going to just share with you something very short, something that I wanted to read. But we'll go to John 14, and I'll finish with that. John 14, verses 16 and 17. The Amplified Bible, by the way, and she's going to go to John 14, but the Amplified Bible of that 14 verse of 1 Corinthians. It's really good. It says, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. So that's very good. You know what it says? If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. The Amplified says, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So John 14, 16, 17, I'm going to give you another reason why we want to pray in other tongues. It's because praying in other tongues reminds us of the Holy Spirit's indwelling presence. Amen? And we want to do things that remind us of that, that makes us become more perceptive of the Holy Spirit. We know because we believe the Word. That tells us that he never leaves us nor forsakes us. But there are people, and my heart goes out to them, that have told me before, I just don't feel the Lord. Don't sense the Lord. Well, you're not going to feel him the way that I feel my husband. Right? But let me tell you, but the presence of God is inward. It can even be stronger. And so if we can do things that will make us be more perceptive and more sensitive to his presence, then let's do it. Because the Lord has given them to us. Amen? And so John 14, verses 16 and 17 says, this is Jesus. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I want to say this very quickly, and we'll connect here next week. Notice here, some people will say, well, that's talking about the new birth. Is it? If we go back, and I don't have the time now because I'm seeing the time. If you go back to 1 Corinthians 12 and then verse 2, you see, and then through the scripture, any time that's talking about the new birth, it says about, it talks about receiving Christ. But this is receiving the Holy, the Spirit. So this is referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'll give you more scripture so that you know. And don't take me wrong, I'm not saying that those that are not filled with the Spirit don't have the Holy Spirit. Because they do. The Holy Spirit indwells them. They love the Lord. They may have the fruit of the Spirit more developed than some that do speak in tongues, because they've been walking with the Lord longer. You know, it's not a matter of majoring in one thing or in the other. We want both the operations of the Spirit, or we call the gifts of the Spirit, and the developing of the fruit, the maturity, the character of Christ. It's not either or. Amen? But notice here, let's read this. I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And then he says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You see, the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. That's the church will receive the Holy Spirit. The world receives Jesus. And if I went with that now, I would hope, but I would. I have to show you the scripture for you to see. How many, and I brought that up one day in one of the prayer meetings, because some of you are like, Pastor Lydia, you're not, I don't know, I'm not convinced about this. How many of you, because I grew up among people that I'd never heard anything about tongues, until I got hungry for it. But then it seems like I started hearing every negative thing that one can hear. And I even heard, I don't know if you did too, I even heard that there's sometimes tongues you can't get received that are that of the devil. Any of you ever heard that too? Some of you did, some of you didn't. Did you hear some of that too? Yeah. Imagine that, you never heard it, and then all of a sudden, you see, the devil really fights that. And I was back in another continent, but you heard it here. And so I had a lot of things, you know, I've told you this before. I had a lot of things in my Bible, a lot of places in my Bible, rather, scriptures. Many Old Testament, some New Testament too, with that I would put in pencil a question mark because I didn't understand it. And I would go to my precious daddy, and he would say, Lydia, I don't know. He was humble enough to say, I don't know. I don't know about that. So I came to the United States with still some of those that I had not been able to erase. And then as I went, and the Lord took us to the feet of Brother Hagen, I was able to erase so many of those question marks. Things that I realized I didn't understand what they meant. You know? And so you just learn, and you hear, and you're in the right place. And so this has to do with that. The world is to receive Christ. The church, then, receives the Holy Spirit. You're born again by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is in you. But the expression of receiving the Holy Spirit is for the church. So whenever you lead somebody to the Lord, you lead them to Jesus. Philip went to Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. He doesn't say that he went to Samaria and preached the Holy Spirit to them. He preached Christ to them. Amen? But then we have the Apostle Paul and others teaching about the Holy Spirit and bringing about, you know, that you are not to be ignorant about the Holy Spirit to the church. Amen? And so I'm going to tell you, just leave it there because I went 5 minutes over. Praise God. Praise God. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You might think, why can't they receive? Well, because they don't have Jesus. But the world can receive Christ if the gospel is preached to them. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, we'll continue on. And I know that the Lord is going to bless each and every one of you. So before we leave, would you all just join and extend your hands? And Pastor Jim, would you come? And we're going to pray for these dear ones whom we love and have enjoyed their fellowship and their love and their sweetness. I'm going to miss you, darling. I miss your husband too, but we had a special connection, right, sweetie? And we would smile at each other on Sunday mornings while worship was going on. Praise the Lord, Pastor. You want to pray for them? I go ahead. Okay, thank you, Father. Father God, we just thank you so much for Dr. and Mrs. Matthews. Thank you, Lord. They have edified this body. They've been a blessing to us. And Lord, we send them out to to North Carolina to continue to be a blessing, to continue to grow in you, to continue to experience you and be a blessing in the church and in the medical field, both of them. Lord, thank you, Father. You have thoughts for them that are beyond what they might even think of or imagine, even though their thinking and their imagination is big. We just thank you, Father. Thank you for your hand of blessing over them, on them, through them, in them. Be blessed. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. We love you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're in agreement with you that your children walk with the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you're ready to be a blessing over there.
There's a God plan.
Yeah. So he's because a doctor, but you have worked in the pharmacy world for a while, right? As I understand. Uh-huh. So they're both in the medical field. Praise the Lord. Well, now you get to believe for a couple that are going to take your place. Okay.
Done.
Okay. All right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we love you all. You have a good night, everyone.